the very familiar verse of Scripture. It's in the book of Romans, chapter 8. You can see it. Verse 4, the latter part of the verse. The Bible says, the Spirit. Call it, which is my point, if you have a point, lift your hands and pray for me. Just a moment. Father, please help me. Please help me in Jesus' powerful and wonderful, wonderful name. Let me deal with this thought for a minute. Every one of us have a spiritual desire to have everything that we can receive from God Almighty. We struggle for that. We strive for that. We fast for that. We pray for that. Because that is the desire of our hearts. I believe God hears the answer to prayer. He says, I will give you the desire of your heart. Now, one of these things we said before, maybe in different ways, but I want to say it again. I've never seen a miracle or the one in any more of a mess than it is today. Somewhere in time, there is going to come a mess that God is not going to heal. God said, seek me while I may yet be found. Call upon me while I'm near. You can't even get the church to pray anymore. When you don't pray, there are certain things that are going to happen. And I believe that's one thing that is contributing to what we are expecting. Oh, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We're strengthened by the joy of the Lord. There's nothing worse than a Christian with no joy. They have nothing to be happy about. What's that? Joy. But we need joy. But you can mark this, that whenever you get the closest to God, is when the devil is going to come in opposition. He doesn't want you blessed. He doesn't want you happy. He doesn't want you with joy. Everything he does is to discourage you. And I tell you what, if you don't believe that the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him when he beats on you, he's going to beat you. It requires the Spirit of God to raise up a standard against that attack of the enemy. I need the joy. I need the strength. I need the blessing. I need the peace. I need the rest. I need a break. But as soon as I begin to receive something from God, here comes old Mr. Satan again. You may not realize this, but his only desire for you is to ruin you. I know God is greater than all of these things. I'm going to say this because I really believe it. But what I'm going to say tonight, if you're not full of the Spirit, you can just kind of put the line on. I'm talking to people that are filled with the Spirit. I'm talking to those who not only have been washed in the blood, but you have the power of God. And you walk in that power. You overcome. What do you overcome? The world, the flesh, and the devil. But the devil will follow you from tonight to the last breath you draw, trying to find something in you of a weakness. Something that he can take advantage of. And he's not going to let go until you're going to be with God. But really, that's all right. Why is it all right? Because God has promised that in every situation, in every crisis, he has made a way of escape. The enemy is not going to overcome us. But the reason that I say I'm talking to those kind of people who are here as far as I know, that you and I live in a realm, R-E-A-L-M. We live in a realm. That God, in that realm, He ordains your steps. He stands at your descent. You're looking at me strange. God can show you in this word a lot of things that God does for those that are filled with the Spirit that a lot of others do not receive. What I'm describing is the essence of a spiritual battle. I don't like to use these terminologies because they've been ruined, like the weapons of the war, warfare and stuff like that. I believe that without the Spirit, that without the Spirit, you live in a realm that is governed totally by the flesh. The flesh has control. I'm not saying that you go sin. We overcome by the blood and the word of our testimony. And I know that. If you think I'm being strange tonight, you should have heard some of our forefathers. I told you about the man in North Carolina who went to the North Carolina at the church meeting with your brother Clinton. Told us that a minister didn't preach for 2 weeks. Sounded like to me, you believe the man has to have the Holy Ghost. He said, you think everybody? He said, well, I won't be back because I don't need to have to have it. But he came back the next night, the next night, the next night, the next night. God told him where the Holy Ghost. His testimony became our testimony. This is not icing on the cake. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And this world is full of the flesh. This world is full of carnality in the church. But we are involved in not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit. That's God's nature. That's the way. I can hear it and I believe this. The Holy Spirit has come to us in relation to the end. I know people, they testify, they say they're saved, whatever. But by their fruits, you know. I want to ask you this because I feel the love of God in here. I want to ask you this. Do you feel like a man that's living holy in the flesh? W-H-O-L-M-Y. Living holy in the flesh. Do you think that he can overcome everything that the devil is going to throw at him in that street corner? I don't. God knows what we need. He's provided what we need. And he gives what we need. What God the Holy Ghost is working in me and working in you is not temporary. In the flesh, everything is temporary. The flesh is going to die. It's going to go back to the dust of the earth. It's going to go back to where it comes from. But that spirit, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. Everything that God does in us, for us, to us, through us, is always in relation to what it's going to be where we draw the last. And the wonderful part is, he's not going to leave us and not going to forsake us. It's in John 10. How that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. Jesus has a death to pay, a price to pay. He has a life to live. The man of the multitude, they despise him, they hate him. They curse him. They plot against him. Everything that they can do. Jesus' fellowship was with the Father. Can I get an amen? Jesus had fellowship on this earth. But his fellowship was with the Father. He had fellowship with the 12. He had fellowship the disciples. He fed 5,000, but he can't find one of his clothes with him. Does that make sense? He fed 5,000 men, but where are they recorded in the Word of God as far as fellowship? The scripture says that at the resurrection, Jesus was seen as about 500 brothers. That's all I know. I know it's 500 more, 599, anything in between. He was seen as the bundle of brothers. He gave every one of them the same way. Command. A command. Did you hear me? A command. What was it? Go into the city of Jerusalem and tarry until you be endued with power from heaven. When that power came, those were on the streets, those receiving the power, they could hear them speaking in other tongues. And the scripture said there was about 120. Do you want to guess where that 380 was? I just went, well, where? How long? How long? Came back. Pretty strong, this time. But wherever the flesh goes, is where they go. Whatever the flesh does, is what they do. Whatever the flesh says, is what they say. Whatever you want, because they are holy of the flesh. When you find those that have been filled with the Spirit, you find them in a prayer. You find them breaking bread. You find them continuous in faith in the apostles' faith. Where did you find Jesus? When his fellowship was with the Father, he got up well before the day was told you. That's where you found Jesus. Where did you find his disciples? Yeah, they got sleeping. And he knows that we're deep in their clothing, but they're there. Where's that 380? Are they a part of that following Jesus? I don't know. What is in the end of this world with Christ? There is an inheritance. I am an heir, I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Is there a possibility that that 380 couldn't say, go and serve the one you serve on earth? I don't know. One of the greatest lessons I ever learned. I learned it from my pastor on the platform. Preaching one night, he said, there is a difference in conscription and birth. You think about that, that could be my opinion. How many women do you know that have conceived but never delivered? The Word of God is to every man the same. He is no respecter of persons. So, sitting on the hillside, when he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, now when he gets down to eating his flesh and drinking his blood, you don't have any of that crap. He's eating fish today. You don't have any of that. A man or a woman that does not live under God the way God looks for them, expects it, and commands it, they have no part in the inheritance. You're looking at me straight. Let me go this way. Do you remember that there was a wedding ceremony in the gospel? Was everybody welcome in that wedding ceremony? And that is somebody knew enough to know what that wedding ceremony was. But he didn't have any other clients. Continue. God is working in us tonight, right now, to prepare us for that inheritance. That's the purpose of all. I know people have some means, as they have some means, God bless them, and they bless God. They're the people that come to this world to have. But when you have people that they do not understand, hello? When we're children, kids are just devils. They try to write them out of the will. They try to leave them out. your life because of what they've done to that family. They've injured that family. They've done damage. They've done whatever. So, whoever is in charge of that will try to cut them out of the inheritance. God the Holy Ghost is working on you to want to do that. Not so you can drive some kind of bank car or whatever you want to mention. He does it because as a child, you have an inheritance. If you get in trouble with him, he will make proof of you. He will stand to you. Why? Why speak? Because the only thing God has in mind is the end. Everything else is a part of getting us to the end. Sister McBride, come here. Tell me what you told me yesterday. You don't know what you're going to do. She told me, she said, you look at this time. And this is the last time. She said, you look at it as an atheist. But she said, we look at it as a strength. We never stop. We never stop. She said, you look at it one way, you look at it another. That meant so much to me. Because I despise it. I may be getting myself in trouble with God because I'm in the shape I am a common man. But how many times have I heard people say, if the Bible says we did, God not only knows about my past, God knows my future. He that drinketh his stones, let him take heed lest he fall. God may see something in me. He said, he may say, I've got to put it in one of his stones. The Bible says, hating the conscience, spotting the flesh. You're not spotting the sin, but you're fighting the power. Let me rest with you. Let me go back. Draw the closer. Jesus didn't have to die so that he'd be in the truth of his life. But I have to take care of all this. God's working on us with the evil. The evil. This place is the evil. One of the numbers on the building of the evil. That's a good question. And I answered it in one of the books. He said, what is the essential scripture in all of the Word of God? He said, in the beginning of the Word of God, this was the Word of God. He said, this is not as if you're asking me, he said, to have Christ, because he's not here. He's not here. I told him, I said, how do you know and say one time that the phrase of the Word? He said, of course. He said, well, I have to pray for you. John 14. Those are beautiful verses. But sometimes, when God the Holy Ghost was the one to make me, he was saying, not a nation. He didn't talk about the nation. He talked about my goodness. I told him, I think he was facing me. I mean, I knew that this morning. Now, don't vote yourself out, but I will at that age and time between me and you to go to the families. I have so much to do. I'm so sorry for the times I have to do. Because it's hard. Did I do it until you know? But did I say something? Did I do something? No. My dad said, be careful how you live your life, son. He said, you do things that you can never get back. He said, you take a man with a seven pole, go up to the top of the Empire State Building, and stay close. Feathers out of that field. Now go try to pick him up. Go try to pick him up. There's a lot of things that we're doing. We can't pick up. But I believe If I let God have his way with me, I don't believe I have to spend it anymore. So, I wish that I could get to the end. But my mom was just a teacher. Thank you. It's the choice sometimes. It's a choice. But when I'm here, who is a dragon, I'm a choice. Satan. I talk to the third kid, I'm just kind of talking to you. There are two things in my life. The beginning of my life. I've never wanted to post. I've never wanted to do what's in the middle of the I want your brother to come here. And I asked him, how did you get the end of that stretch? I said, Pastor, have you ever been depressed? He said, of course. I've never seen him. This old man. This mighty man of God. My hero. Which is me. He said, yes, I've been depressed. All my life, I tried to live above discouragement. Hello? If I let somebody depress me, discourage me, they're taking control of my life. I don't want somebody else controlling my life. There is a victory in my life. And that victory comes by the power of God. And you receive power to overcome the world, the Christ, and the devil. Whether it's depression, discouragement, melancholy, whatever you may want to call it. In that old church with that old sound system, if you want to be touched with this, your message is not just. And then, man, you cry, pop, squeal, jump back, go in and tell them, and make a final report, a speaker, and say, oh, good. And that's the time, this is the moment, and it is the moment. But there's a lot of things. That frustrates us. Now, there is a victory over frustration, but it's not a victory. We just know how to do things. Paul said, none of us have received motivation. None of us have received motivation. They're putting him in prison. Paul is jealous. You know what he did? He found him. He's saying that prison may have been full of tons of other people, but they're not saying they're in prison. They're being punished. They're being beaten with stripes. They have manacles on their hands and on their arms. They're in prison. That's it. That's one form of sin without being killed. Without any instrument, without a congregation, but just that. There's only one that can do that. He must have had it. He didn't get it. The Spirit of God will put a sign in your life. He didn't need it. We need to get victory over everything so we do not lose in the time of the day. Abundant interest. Right? An abundant interest. If it's true that you can have it, what is the 20-68% capacity of it? Why in the world would I want to make my life another good thing? Why would I want to make my life with all that God has done with me to just have it? In the corner of the universe. Why would I want anything less than 100%? You know why you can have 100%? You can have it. He has given it. He says you're going to reap what you sow. If you sow the wind, you're going to reap the wind. God is working for us, not against us. I was going to come to the next step. But let me show this man a great deal of confidence. When you come right down to it, the people, they give up, they quit, and turn around and go back and talk. I'm not talking about somebody that's in love with a sin. I'm talking about those. The Bible says, strive, S-T-R-I-V-E, and turn away from the sin. You don't have it, but have it with you. That you may enter the safety, the burden. I'll give you his name in a minute. They came down from Paul with a picture of a camel. That was his message. He said, there are people that will speak to enter the kingdom of God. And he said, I send you this word. His message that night, he described in every manner possible what it was described. You get put in hard places. You get blind. You get this, whatever it is. He said, you got to strive for it. Strive that you may enter in at the same thing. Strive. This is not an easy way. But if you have the opportunity to talk to a lot of people, don't go to church in the morning, they will tell you, it's too hard. It's too hard. Have you ever heard people say that? Sure. I can. I don't go to church, but it's just hard. I wish I could keep the preaching all the time. It's just hard. So what has happened to them is they go out of harvest. There's a cure for harvest. By the way, that's the Holy Spirit. He's gentle, he's kind, he's compassionate, understanding. He's working with you, not against you. He edifies you, he doesn't blame you. Hello? God is in the business, for the lack of a better way of putting it, taking it me all the way to the end. Sin solved the rest of you. Get to the end of the way. When the Spirit is going to be the Philistine was in St. Francis Church. This guy's all the same. Can you remember the name of that guy that had to stay in the face of the church? Who? That doesn't mean you got me off the street. What the fuck? I used to record my church 6 weeks. 7 minutes, 6 weeks, in that church, and almost every night, I'm close to him to see him. He's still going to be. He was standing there, the grandmother, playing the piano, him standing there, and I'm right, that friend of his, he's still going to be. The Savior goes to be. And with his loving him, he's in his. I know that you will lead me to higher ground and to something that's standing in the face. If you can get through these things, you're just getting seeds. We're all in the way to it. We're getting closer all the time. But the devil's going to fight you. And the closer you get to God, the harder he's going to fight you. It's moving. When he doesn't have any trouble with you, you let him do what he wants to do. So he uses his mind. But when you get used to God, the devil will not accept you. I'm a part